My name is Narendra Agrawal. I was born and raised in Malaysia. Got married when I was 18 years old. I had finished my grade 12 when I got married. And my husband was in the army. He was going to go to England in the Royal Military Academy, Sandhurst. So I joined him. I had my two brothers studying law in London. So my dad bought a house for us so that three of us can live there. And my husband used to come over during the weekends. I had gone to university there to pick up few subjects while I was there. During that time, we had visited England in many different places. And at the end of his training, he had an attachment with British Army or Rhine in Germany. So we spent a couple of months there. After that, we came back to England and we sailed from Southampton to Singapore 1 month. That was also first class, like a cruise, and came back to Malaysia. So what I wanted to also say that being in the army, we had a lot of opportunity to travel, and also we moved a lot. So we lived in 29 houses so far, but only two houses in Canada. We lived in six countries. So that was a great opportunity for us to, you know, really get a lot more knowledge and experiences. So we went back to Malaysia in 1959. And 1960, I had my daughter, first child, when she was born. But during that time, my husband again had the opportunity to go to Australia to do further training in engineering. So when my daughter was 6 months old, I went to join him in Australia for 6 months. While we were there, he had attachment again to different provinces in Australia. So we had a lot of time to travel and enjoy. So we lived in three provinces when we were in Australia. So we came back to Malaysia, and after that my husband decided to go and visit his family in India. So we took a cruise from Singapore to Bombay and spent 3 months traveling again extensively in India. So during that time I was pregnant with my second child. So our second child, my son was born in 1963. So during my husband's army career, we lived in many different cities, and some of the places, part of Malaysia was not developed. It's part of Borneo. Borneo was shared with Indonesia and Malaysia. Then one time we were also posted to Sarawak. It's called Sarawak. The place was Kuching. This was not a very developed area. The longest road those days at that time was just 7 miles, just to get to the airport. So during that time, we traveled by river boats to different areas. We went to Brunei, we went to Labuan. So before that, we came back to main part of Malaysia. So when we came back, my husband was started working with the Ministry of Defense in Kuala Lumpur. And we had, that was the longest we stayed there, was 5 years. So my daughter was 16 and she has finished her schooling, and our son was 13. During that time, we realized that Malaysia, they had decided to have their official language, which is called Bahasa Malaysia. And the schools, they had only a couple of subjects which were in English, and they was moving slowly. So we realized for our children's future, this is not going to be very good, because as you know, English is a universal language. So we decided to get immigration to Canada, and it was an easy decision. We got the visa very fast, and 6 months, we had 6 months to decide, and it wasn't easy to decide, but we had to be practical that this is for our children's future, and my daughter was going to go to college and university at that time. So we moved to Canada. It wasn't easy in the beginning because we're used to having help in the house, full-time maid, driver and gardener. But we had decided, once we came here, we decided we are not going to look back. When we came, we were very surprised that there was a lot of prejudice here and racism. Because we had lived in England, Germany, Australia, we didn't realize that. We had never faced anything of that sort. So my husband was trying to get a job. While we applied, he was told that you don't have a problem because he was colonel in the army. He had also done his MBA from England, like education in different English-speaking countries. But when we came here, because he wears turban, he wasn't able to get a job. So meanwhile, I decided to explore. And one day I was reading the newspaper and I saw an ad, they need A1 reps. So I thought, I called the lady who was the manager, and she came over and explained that to me and gave me all the brochures and the bag and samples. And I was given a road in those days, number 4 and number 5 roads for my area. But there was ditches both sides of the road. It's a very narrow road. But I decided, okay, I'm going to do it. During that time, I also made some friends. One day when I went to do my call on a house, this house was occupied by a Punjabi-speaking family. So they invited me in for tea. And while talking about myself, they say, would you like to work? But it's a factory work. I say, yes, sure. She say, we are having a vacancy for people sewing plastic bags for lumber. So next day I went and interviewed, and I had a job. But the manager was a nice person. I told him, I say, I don't think I can be able to work for 8 hours. 8 hours sounded a lot, and it was a heavy work. I say, how about if I work just 6 hours a day? So he said, that's fine. But before that, I forgot to mention that I also worked in Bay as a housekeeping job, and also some babysitting jobs. Housekeeping job again wasn't easy because cleaning the washrooms and doing the vacuuming. But you know, we have to do what we have to do. I worked for that sewing company for about 6 months. But meanwhile, I also got to know that I can go for upgrading in my education, and hoping I'll get some office job. So I applied for a course in the Vancouver Community College, studying business and accounting. That was 1 year's course. So I started course when I had worked for 6 months. And fortunately for us, one thing were financially, like we had sold our house in Malaysia, bought a duplex here, thinking we'll live in one side, the other side we can rent and we can get some income. Also, we had savings. So we didn't have to depend on anybody else or government help. So I went to college, and those days they did pay, Canada Manpower did pay for the courses to train new people in different areas. So they paid all my expenses. And my family was a little reluctant. They said, no, you know, you haven't been to school for so many years. You know, are you sure you want to do that? I said, yes, why not? I'll try. So I went to school. Also during that time, I had to quit my sewing job, but I still kept some babysitting jobs. They were good families. So when I went there, I was pleasantly surprised that I was doing English and math better than some of the other grade 12 students who were there. So that gave me quite a bit of confidence. And also I forgot to mention that when with A1 sales, I did also well. For 5 years, I was a President Cup member. That means you have at above certain amount of sales every year. So I was awarded beautiful figurines that represented 90s A1 company. When I finished my diploma, I was just walking to, you know, check out, and there was a sign on the board to say with 3 months job available, and I just thought, why not I go and meet the manager. He was a very nice man. In my life, I had met many, many good people, lovely people. So when I went there, I interviewed, and he said, okay, you can start anytime now. It was a position in the, they call it student services, taking calls and sending them brochures and things. So I worked there for 3 months because it was only for 3 months. And after that, unfortunately, I had a problem with my health. I had to go through surgery. So after surgery, my husband said that since you are going to be starting work, new place, you may not get any holidays. If you like, you can go and work, go and visit my family. So I decided then to go and visit my family in Malaysia, because it wasn't, all my family was in Malaysia. And after spending there a month, I came back. And again, luckily, I was reading a newspaper. I read a lot, even now, from the very beginning. My dad had also encouraged us to read. And I was looking at the paper. They say, oh, a doctor requires a receptionist with a Punjabi-speaking knowledge. So next day, I called and I applied for a job. So he say, yes. He was such a nice gentleman, this doctor. Very nice, very respectful person. So I worked there for 2 years. After that, he came from Scotland. His family was in Scotland. He decided to go back, maybe, you know, do further specializing in medicine. So again, this time my younger sister was very sick. So I decided to go and visit her. So unfortunately, before I arrived there, she passed away. This was a great tragedy for the family. She was much younger than me. So when I came back, I was looking for a job. I did some work for another doctor's office. Meanwhile, my husband had some break. It was a immigrant services society. He got a job there. He did volunteer work before getting this job, and then he had a job there. And one day, one of the other person from who was working for Vancouver City said, oh, they are looking for someone in Richmond with the Punjabi-speaking language, because there are lots of families here who have children, and they are not being able to provide the services because they don't have English language skills. So, okay, then I went to have an interview with the manager in the health department, Richmond Health Department, and they say, okay, you can start right away. So with this job, I was only given 3 days a week. When I started working there, the community health nurses, mostly I worked with them and did home visits. There were many, many families who had children born with special needs and toddlers who had problems. And it was a very rewarding. I worked for Richmond Health Department for 22 years. It was a very, very rewarding job. I had so much love and respect from my colleagues. I think nobody else probably would have done that. Because every time I did something, there were so many of them. I was doing interpretation, counseling, and for nutritionists, community health nurses, psychologists, psychiatrists, and some other areas. So I worked there for 22 years, and that was the very best part of my life in Canada. After 20 years, 65, I decided to retire. But I was offered another job, say for 3 years contract. So I thought about it, and I think I need time now to first give it to myself. And secondly, I always wanted to do volunteer work, because I always felt I couldn't do much for my parents. So when I did the home visits, there were senior women who I found were very depressed, isolated, And they just used to mention a couple of words, say, we don't have a life here, we are being like in a prison, because we just look through the window, we can't use the phone. And most of the time, of course, they were there doing housekeeping, taking care of the children. So I felt that, you know, there's a need for these women to go and get together somewhere. So I talked to my supervisor in the health department. They say, we don't have any funding for the seniors, but if you want to do in your own time, we will give you some support. Okay, I decided that. So what happened was that that time they started multicultural committee in the city too. So I used to attend these meetings. So I brought this up for them. There was a coordinator for Kembe Community Center, and he said, okay, you want to start this group, I can give you a space. That was old community center, talking about 45 years ago. There's a, in the afternoon, we have a space available in a trailer where they had preschool. So I said, that's fine. And I got some of these women who were able to come, just walk, because they didn't know how to use buses. They don't have anybody to transport them. Sometimes I gave them rides. So we started our group there. So going back again to my husband's job, my husband, initially when he couldn't find a job, he decided to go for volunteer work. In Vancouver, he was in the police advisory committee and multicultural committee in Vancouver, because the job was in Vancouver. He also met Jackie Shell, and she was the director of Minoru Senior Center. And through her, she said, okay, I'm on the board of Southam Community Center. I'll talk to the board. You see, in the beginning, because of prejudice, people were always reluctant to have anybody coming and using the services other than the white people. So she really, she was a very strong person. They agreed to let us. And I used to work 9 days a fortnight. That's called, in 2 weeks, we work 9 days and one. So that's the day of Monday that I took off. I was off, and that's the day I decided to, you know, coordinate this group. Not only the room, she also offered. She said, okay, we have a bus. The bus will pick up women from homes and drop them back. And the group really grew after that, because the rides were not a problem. So nobody will believe these women. They are the same one. They used to sing and dance and laugh and joke. And we had nearly 50 members in the group. Meanwhile, also, while I worked there for a few years, after that they realized that, you know, since I'm also providing counseling, advice, because interpretation straight for healthcare doesn't work. You know, you really have to explain the reason why this is going to be beneficial for you to have this advice, to follow it. Because sometimes these children, some other organizations had to come to the homes to give advice and also to treat those physically handicapped children. I was also present there to do interpretation for both sides. It is important how they perceive the information. So manager decided, okay, how about you go for a counseling course and we will pay for all your expenses, the time and the traveling and everything. So I completed that course. So that way they were saying that they will protect me. So that was nice. And with this group again, it really big success. I organized traveling to all over BC and also in USA once a year. And we still have that going up 40 years now. And I'm still the coordinator. And I provided lots of help with traveling. We had traveled widely and traveled to 39 countries. Because this was because my family wanted my husband to write his memoir, and that's how we. I also, after retirement, I decided to do volunteer work at Minoru Residence once a week. And I loved that job, and it was again very rewarding. So I had gone into a lot of other volunteer work during that time as well.